and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
I stretch.
I know, you're struggling over there.
Not struggling, just a shifting in place, as we do here on the show. That's what we're known for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nothing really much to talk about up top. You'll probably get back to the book, get to the book real soon. But Jen and I, over the weekend, we were just fudging around, and I came across like a, because on YouTube, sometimes you'll just want to look for something, and then a bunch of other things will pop up, and you'll be like, oh, I can watch those things, and then you do. So I was watching like the night, so I've been, so me and you, we get like in this like way we want to watch like MTV stuff from the 80s and 90s, you know, just like old TV, you know, like just stuff like that. And we found the 1990 Year in Rock, I think.
I think it was 1991 Year in Rock.
No, I think it was 1990 because they were talking about George Michael's album that came out with Freedom.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so that, and there was a few other, Madonna, you know, Dick Tracy, because Dick Tracy was 1990.
Yeah.
So we watched that, you know, and then it came up with the 1992 MTV Video Music Awards.
Let's be very clear. It was 6 hours of the pre-show, the show, and then the after show.
Yes.
Of the 1992 MTV Video Music Awards.
With full commercials.
With full commercials, which is always fun.
Which was saying, so I mean, but that was a real treat, because this is the kind of stuff I kind of like want to just watch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just want to sit there and just be like, okay, I remember all this stuff, and I want to just be, I want it to wash over me.
Yeah.
And it was fun because, you know, you're trying to remember stuff. Like, you can look it up, obviously.
Yeah.
But you're trying to remember. It's like, okay, was this the one with Nirvana and, you know, Christopher Selich drop, you know, throwing his bass up in the air?
And it hit. Was.
And it was. And it was.
Yes.
And then you learn more about it, and you're like, oh, apparently Guns N' Roses got into a fight, or almost got into a fight with Nirvana backstage. I didn't know this. I've been alive for a long time, and I did not know this.
I don't think I ever knew it either, but I'm really not surprised by it.
I'm not surprised either. I'm just saying, but like, it was never a thing where, you know, you dick around on like YouTube or, you know, different lists or whatever, and it's like, you know, rock and roll feuds, and it's like Nirvana v Guns N' Roses. I'm like, I don't think I recall this at all. Yeah,
no.
And it's something that kind of, it started during the show. There's a, you know, Dave Grohl kind of was calling Kurt out because that's something to do with Courtney Love backstage. Or no, not Kurt, Axel.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with Courtney Love backstage going up to Axel's girlfriend and talking shit to her. And then Axel retaliated by bringing a camera crew to document his confrontation with Kurt.
No idea. Well, I said it before, but Axl Rose is the 90s CM Punk.
You know, he
always
totally
getting in a fucking fight. No matter where he is, it's always somebody else's fault. It's never his fault.
He's always screwing up, and it's never his fault.
Never his fault. Oh my God, everybody's just against him.
Why is everybody so mean?
Yeah.
To Axl Rose.
That's exactly what it was.
The grumpiest man alive. I know.
And it just reminded me, like, every single time I see Axl Rose, I remember the Metallica Behind the Music, which I have seen probably 78 times.
Yes.
And when James got himself blowed up in Montreal and they had to cut their set short, and then Axl didn't really want to go on because his throat hurt, but there, and James just like mimics him smoking and drinking, but his voice hurts, right? He's like, he could have been the hero of the day. And then that's kind of what led to that huge riot in Montreal.
Yeah.
I just always remember that. I'm like, he could have been the hero of the day,
but
he wasn't.
Did they write the song about him? Hero of the day?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's one of my favorite Metallica songs.
It's fun.
It's very good. It's weird because it's, everybody loves all the other songs. And you know, that one's off of Load, and it's not like, I mean, it's probably a lot of people's favorite song, but it just feels weird for me to say that's my favorite song.
Not weird,
but I don't know. It feels like I should be like, yeah,
it's Master Ride of the Puppets. Lightning. Yeah. No,
Master of Puppets is my album.
Fair.
I think it's, if I have an Metallica album, it's Master of Puppets followed by the Black Album.
Sure.
You know, and then I don't really know, because all the rest of them, I mean, they're all great. You know, they're all interesting and great and all that stuff. And it's Metallica.
Right.
But Master of Puppets and Black Album are like the two.
Right.
So, yeah. But it was nice to watch the 1992 Video Music Awards to see a bunch of people you haven't seen in a while.
Kurt Loder. Tabitha Soren.
John Norris.
John Norris.
I forgot how small of a man he is.
He really is a tiny man.
Very, very small. He's kind of like a Ben Stiller, but caught in a dryer. That kind of thing.
And Ben Stiller is already small.
He's already small. He's small. He seems smaller than Ben Stiller. But the pre-show was great. I do want to say the award show, still pretty great. He had Bobby Brown on there humping around. I remember that's a good, I like that song.
I've never enjoyed his
My Prerogative is a good song too.
That's
a
My Prerogative's all right.
Prerogative.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That one's not too bad, but other than that, I have no interest.
Yeah, I just remember there was in the video, it's like a guy, you know, because it's this woman's trying to find out if Bobby Brown's cheating on him or cheating on her, and he was.
Yeah, I was gonna say the answer is yes.
And she has to go into his computer to like find evidence of this.
Is it like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Is his evidence is, and his password is humping.
So do you remember when Kelly Rowland did a video with Nelly?
Yes.
And she's like texting him on a Sidekick and she's using Microsoft Excel.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that meme a bunch of times, but it's very funny. She's like mad that he's not getting back to her.
It's like, no kidding. He's not getting back to you, honey.
It's like, it's just like in computer. She gets that weird error message.
Exactly. This is the wrong formula. It's like giving you the VLOOKUP error message.
Oh, I have to do the sum of the messages.
Oh, I see. The formula is incorrect.
Yeah. But there was that. And then
Chili Peppers
was good. Uh-huh. Chili Peppers was, I remember that performance pretty well.
Nirvana.
I remember that performance pretty well because Anthony Kiedis
is wearing like a weird.
He's wearing like a plaid joke.
He's like the Riddler.
The Riddler, yeah.
Yeah, because he literally has like one of those hats, and instead of a question mark, it's an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always remember because
which literally looks like he made it out of paper, by the way.
Yeah. Or maybe it was felt.
Maybe it really looked like paper. looked like paper.
But there's a part at the end where like he's headbanging, and I don't know why he just, you know, he wears the jacket to like the very, very end. It's like the very last second he takes the jacket off. And I'm like, why'd you wear the jacket in the first place? I don't know. Like, I kind of felt
maybe because he was like fleas only in his underwear. One of us should have clothing.
Oh, I guess so. He's like, he had to
balance it out.
He had to balance the nudity out. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I always thought, because if you're Anthony Kiedis, like, you know, maybe mid song, you're like, jacket's off, you know, hair's out, whatever, you know, he's doing his thing.
Right.
So I remember that Right Now by Van Halen won all the awards or a bunch of awards. That was pretty cool. That's a good song.
Sure. It's
a good video.
Sure.
And there was something else on, well, two things on the pre-show, though, that really amused me. There was this part where
they interview En Vogue.
Oh, no. Okay. So three things. So and we'll say this real quick and then we'll get the episode thing. But so three things. So En Vogue. So they're interviewing En Vogue.
This was at UCLA. It's so it's literally like they're in a field and there's just a bunch of trailers.
Yeah.
And they're just standing on grass by a trailer.
They're standing on grass by a trailer.
It was very funny the way they set that up. But anyway.
And they're talking, you know, Kurt Loder, I think, is talking to them. And they're.
No, it was Tabitha Soren.
Or Tabitha. Okay. And, you know, she's interviewing them. And their stuff was for My Love Isn't Never Gonna Get It. So they're like, all the everybody's jokes all night was like, so En Vogue, Never Gonna Get It. You know, and
she's
like, okay, fucking goddamn it.
Right.
And then they performed Free Your Mind, which is fucking awesome.
I love Free Your Mind. It's a great song.
But So they're interviewing them, and you could see in the background, you just, as soon as it starts,
you see this humongous dude.
It's like Dennis Haysbert in like Major League, big mm-hmm. guy, you know, just standing in the background where it looked like a Secret Service agent.
100%, because he's literally wearing a suit. He's got his hands like crossed in front of him, you know, his waist.
Dark sunglasses.
I'm sure he had like the thing in his ear.
Yeah. And he's standing there, and there's just like some people just milling past, and he does his job.
Oh, he does.
So well. He's just like, no, directing this way. You are going this way. And if you don't, I will murder you. Yeah. You will not get in your En Vogue. Nobody's getting in your En Vogue unless I let you. And that means nobody's getting your En Vogue.
Yep.
So that guy ruled.
Uh-huh. You were so excited about that.
I'll save the last one. But so there is also Marky Mark.
Oh, yes. He's carrying a backpack the whole time.
He brought the backpack on stage.
Why did he bring the backpack?
I don't know.
What's in the backpack?
The meatballs for the dog to give to.
That's right.
Maybe good vibrations were in that backpack?
Perhaps. It could have been good vibrations.
But he's Marky Mark, so it's like Mark Wahlberg in 1992, but he's Marky Mark, so he sounds... If you're fit, you know, you watch... People make fun of Mark Wahlberg, and you're like, you know, it's like, oh, say hi to your mother for me or whatever. Hey, babe.
You know, hey, yo, bro,
whatever. And
no.
you're like, man, Mark Wahlberg's so silly. Marky Mark in 1992 has zero. He has half a brain cell.
Yeah.
The way that he's doing this bit. And
yeah.
I'm kind of embarrassed for him, because I'm like,
oh, yeah. No, that was a thing. Like Vanilla Ice kind of did it a little bit, too.
Vanilla Ice, though, I feel... I don't think
the same. Anyway, yeah, that's right. So that was fun. So what is the last thing that you enjoyed?
The last thing I enjoyed was when they sent Cindy Crawford out to speak.
Oh, God, to the paparazzi. Audience.
And they were doing
it was the paparazzi that they sent her to. Because
they decided to do, in order to fill the pre-show time, they were like, you know what's great? Let's do a short video package on the paparazzi, because apparently it was new then.
I guess.
And so they're showing, you know, and she's talking to paparazzi, and she's like, you know, it's funny because she's like at the National Enquirer, and she's like, she's talking to this editor or whatever. And she's like, so there's this picture of me with my husband, Richard Gere. Like, how'd you get this picture? And the guy's like, I couldn't hear what she was saying.
Yeah.
He was saying, but it was just stupid.
Yeah.
But then, so she's going to, you know, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to the paparazzi. And they're taking pictures, and like somebody, she goes to this one guy who looks like Super Mario, and he's like, she's like, oh, so what's the famous picture? What's the most famous person you've taken a picture of? And he's like, oh, you. And she's like, oh, no, okay. And he's like, oh, I'm Mick Jagger, right? And she's asking a few other people, and she gets this one dude kind of like standing, and he's like, and she's like,
who here's hidden in the bushes?
He's hidden in the bush. Like, yeah. All the other people are kind of out, but he's like hidden in a bush. And she goes to ask him, you know, it's like, well, what's your most favorite picture? And he just goes, I don't know. I'm from Switzerland.
That's right.
I was laughing so hard.
What is that Simpsons bit when Krusty's like doing that thing and he like raises, like, talk to the audience?
This is going to be terrible.
And that's exactly what it was. I'm like, never talk to the audience or the crowd or whatever on a live show, because it never goes well.
Yeah, no, it was Cindy Crawford doing crowd work was not her specialty.
You know, I forgot how much, like, how involved she was in MTV.
Well, yeah, I mean, House of Styles.
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, like, yeah. And then, like, hosting these things, and, like, they sent her in to talk to the editor of the Enquirer, to, like for a hard, almost like a hard-hitting news piece.
Which is kind of crazy, because I'm like, you're Cindy Crawford in 1992. You have way better things to do.
You have so much stuff to do right now.
You should be like, they should be like, hey, wouldn't it be great if you talked to the National Enquirer? And you should be like, I'm Cindy Crawford. Get the fuck out of my face.
I'm on a boat in Ibiza, like, doing a photo shoot.
Ibiza, me and Richard and the gerbils.
Doing a photo shoot for September's Vogue issue. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Why are you not busy?
Yeah.
What happened?
Why are you hanging out with Kurt Loder?
Yeah, Kurt Loder's,
and the funniest thing about this, and then we could move on, is where they set this up, like where Kurt, like the home base for like where Kurt Loder was sitting. It's just looking down the street where the limos leave.
Yeah, it's not good.
It was bad. I was like,
I think this was before Step and Repeats.
It must have been either that, or they didn't think to get one. Maybe they couldn't afford it. This is the salad days of MTV.
Oh, I mean, man.
But like, he's literally just sitting there, and there's like people walking across the street in the background and cars driving. And it's just Kurt Loder, like, in an alleyway. It was so weird.
He's like, so we're MTV Music Awards pre-show live from Crime Alley.
Pretty much.
We're going to interview Joe Chill next.
Pearl's just falling constantly.
Oh no, Cindy Crawford's pearls.
That's probably what was going to happen if she kept talking to those paparazzi.
Yeah, right. Better be careful.
Come explore the Hyborian Age and tread the jeweled thrones of Earth with me, Stephen Orr, and the Hither Came Conan podcast. Together, we'll take a look at the adventures of Conan of Cimmeria, the black-haired, Selenite barbarian, one comic book issue at a time. From the Marvel comic series that began in 1970 to the currently being published series from Titan Comics and everything in between. Get Hither Came Conan now on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to finish up our Savage Dragon trilogy of books. This is the third issue of the third issue of the miniseries. That
we've been reading.
And so this would technically be Savage Dragon number 3, the miniseries, December 1992. And thankfully for the Savage Dragon Wiki, it actually tells you the episode, the name of the story.
Oh, great.
Because for whatever reason, this trade just doesn't want to tell you anything.
No.
They're just like, book, look at all these funky splash pages.
Yeah, pretty much. Would you like to see our sound effects?
Yeah, the sound effect, they spent all the sound effects, and they were like, we have to fit all these sound effects in, and we can't put in anything else in this trade.
Correct.
But this story is called Rock This Town, written and illustrated by Eric Larson.
And is this also technically from October 1992, or?
No, December 1992.
Oh, it's from December, okay.
Yeah. So we went October, November, December. And on the cover here, you can see, I don't know if you can see, it's not really.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's basically.
It's just him punching.
It's him punching Bedrock. Third rockin' issue, because Bedrock and Savage Dragon battles Bedrock. Bedrock.
Some of these names. Bedrock. I don't know. It's just not my favorite name for a. It makes me think of the Flintstones.
Yeah, it's lazy.
I mean, I guess we were just trying to name things, but.
But we'll get to that in a second here.
Yeah.
Because I have some qualms. But anyways, Savage Dragon, number 3, Rock This Town.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick up with him in the hospital.
Yes, because if you remember at the end of the last issue, Savage Dragon fought Super Patriot. He was bleeding all over the place and he got rushed to the hospital. Well, that's how we ended.
He got cut pretty bad.
Right, because he was bleeding and shit.
What's his face?
Hellraiser.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so, but he was just fighting with Super Patriot and he collapsed and now he's in hospital.
Right.
Oh, no, it does say Rock This Town.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, look at me being an asshole. But we start off right away and since it's Chicago and it's overrun by crazies, we... Right away, there's right away a big fight because it's always a big fight.
Yes, and this guy's name is
Inferno.
Inferno
again.
Yeah,
lazy name.
I mean, better than Bedrock.
But I actually do like him jumping through the window or door or whatever this building, the wall, and just yelling, "Die at the hands of Inferno."
I actually like that too. That is a good entrance line.
Die, die, die! He's like, this guy is.
Die at the hands of Inferno is a great thing to yell.
Yeah.
Also, he kind of looks like a Sunspot-like guy.
Yeah, he's basically like Sunspot, but like he also has like a 90s harness on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of some sort. And he's shooting off and, you know, I'm assuming fire blasts. And Savage Dragon is leaping out of his bed while he's wearing his gown.
Oh, and did you notice Savage Dragon's feet?
Oh, that he only has two toes?
Yes. During this fight, he only has two toes.
Yeah, actually, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's because nobody can draw feet.
Oh.
Like, I can only draw two toes.
Eric Larson's like, look, I may be better at drawing feet, but I can only do two toes, man.
I only got two.
Because
everything else, except the fact that he's green and has a fin, has been normal, but now he only has two toes.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But he has five fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? You think he would have two fingers.
I mean, usually, but...
Yeah, so, of course, we got Scrabouche.
Oh, so many sound effects.
We got those words.
Yeah.
So Shum. I'm not going to read all these.
No,
but
you get the idea. So yeah, he's like fighting.
Well, actually, he doesn't even fight. This guy jumps through the wall.
Oh, he smashes this dude's head into the wall, which is kind of fun.
Jumps through the wall, dodges a blast, and then immediately buries his fist into this guy's face into the wall.
Yeah. Which is kind of great because he literally just puts this dude's face into drywall, which is kind of great.
And he is, and that somehow like just deactivates his suit, and he's just a regular body.
Yeah, I guess.
And instead of like panicking cops or mm-hmm. people or cert people, it's just these cops just casually walking in. Like they see the vision, like, oh no, not again. And then he defeats his villain Inferno easily, and they just. The rest of these cops, like his buddy Frank and that, whatever
her name is.
I want to call her Robin, but I know it's not her name.
No, I can't remember her name, but yeah.
But she comes in and they're just like basically filling him in, you know, exposition wise about what's happened because he was injured so badly, his body shut down and repaired itself.
Yes, apparently he has such what he calls metabolism.
Yeah.
That allows him to heal cuts in like a day.
Yeah, he's very good at that. So he will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned that, and I didn't remember this upon first reading through this.
Okay.
But that Basher guy on that team,
yes,
he got like a hole through his head. Like he got shot through the head.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either.
But because, you do see it because Super Patriot shoots him through the head.
Oh, that's right.
Like a big cannon.
Because they say that they captured Mako, the shark man, and he's in custody.
They captured Shoka. So Mako and Hellraiser are alive, incarcerated, and in intensive care, which makes me laugh because I'm trying to think of what that would look like having a shark, a bipedal shark on a hospital bed with a bunch of like a bunch of things hooked up to him because he's in intensive care.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, and how do you even treat that?
That's a very good question.
I mean,
do you call a veterinarian or do you call a doctor? Do you call
an ocean biologist?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like a shark expert? You like call down to SeaWorld and be like, can you send us one of your guys?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seriously, you gotta get the Aqua. Maybe do you call Aquaman?
You might have to call Aquaman. I mean, Aquaman probably knows a guy.
I don't really know many image folks that are water-based heroes, to be honest.
Are there any?
There might be. I know there was Rainmaker in Gen 13, but that was just like rain. It wasn't like underwater.
Yeah.
Like, there was also Fathom, who was a hot lady covered in bubbles.
Bubbles?
And I don't know if she was like an aqua...
What do you mean covered in bubbles?
All I remember is
she just like suds in the shape suds. Of a, is she suds in the shape of a woman? Like
no, she. I just remember she's like a you know, a hot babe, but then like anytime I remember seeing her, like all of her like bit you know parts that you can't draw are covered in bubbles.
Oh, so she's like wearing a bubble bikini.
But apparently. But that's all I remember. I don't know anything about her. I don't know if she actually like, interacted with anybody or did anything like that as far as like superhero stuff. I just remember her and Rainmaker, but only because Rainmaker has the word rain in it.
Right.
And so yeah, I guess you're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
In the Image universe or whatever. Yeah. And so actually I think it's funny because I got to remember her name. I feel bad. Miss Wild. Well, it's Officer Wild. I don't remember the first name is.
Wasn't it Alex or something?
Alex, yeah. They have a shark, bipedal shark
mm-hmm.
in intensive care.
Yes.
And she mentions, well, for Super Patriot, he crawled onto his feet and took off the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was like he was under remote control or something. How is that the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
I know. I was going to say, there's... so many more weird things that you've seen. However,
you're literally looking at a weird thing.
Yeah, you're staring at it. But I mean, we did talk about how Super Patriot seemed to like kind of glitch out there at the end. So he's not right. Whatever's going on with him, he's not right.
Yeah. And also, this is This is what just more crazy to me. So Lieutenant Frank is telling him that in the 6 days that
he's been unconscious,
there's been a whole mess of other heroes or villains, superpowered villains, and a bunch of officers have died. And he's like, oh, I'm glad you're back, Dragon. We really needed you because you're literally the only thing that could save us. But what I don't understand is, okay, so if it's that bad, do you think the National Guard would be in there?
I mean, you would assume, unless we're talking about some sort of Bane takes over Gotham situation, which we haven't discussed, but it's possible.
It's quite possible. It's just, again, the logistics are the stuff that doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, yes, it's a comic book from 1992.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, like, one man army, you know, you're the only one who can save us, you know, help me, Obi-Wan sort of stuff. That was very prevalent in the 90s. Like, we don't need anybody. We only need this one big strong guy with a bunch of guns.
Yeah.
So that was very 90s.
Yeah. So we leave off on that and we go to, we also learn that Skull Faces from the guy that blew up the warehouse with Cousin Fred in it.
Yes.
Apparently could not be charged for that because there wasn't enough evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out on in the streets.
Being
a skull and a face at the same time.
At the same exact time.
We jump to, this is where we meet Overlord.
We have to discuss Overlord.
Well, I was going to say the best way I could describe Overlord is that he looks like Dr. Doom
wearing an Iron Man suit.
Actually, to me, it reminds me more of, and this is more of a deeper cut, but not really, High Evolutionary.
Okay.
So it's like High Evolutionary's armor, but then Dr. Doom's like face mask and like, yeah, and all that stuff.
I have to tell you, there are a lot of cool looking villains in here. Like, I think Skull Face or whatever looks pretty sweet. I like the Shark Man. This guy looks like, this is stupid. I can't get into this. I'm sorry. I think it's so dumb.
This is just him walking around wearing this. And it actually, I'm all for weird color combinations.
Yeah, but this is like you said, it's like Dr. Doom meets High Evolutionary. It's literally like they took two parts of action figures and like shoved them together to make a weird custom.
Yeah, yeah. It's a custom that I would be offended by.
Yeah, like you'd go, what the fuck did you? And he's like, well, I just thought it would be cool if this is what it looked like.
It's a shitty custom you would find for sale on Mercari for $80.
Yeah, 100%. And it's been there for 7 years because no one's gonna buy it.
Yeah, well, no thanks. Yeah, he looks ridiculous. Like, and he's in his lair, which is in this, the tallest building ever. Like, it's literally, I think we're Chicago and the Sears Tower is there, but I feel like this building is longer. It actually looks like a Kit Kat. Like,
it does.
One of those wafers.
Do you remember when we went to New York?
Yes.
So when we went to New York, there is a very skinny skyscraper that they just built.
Okay.
And it's very tall and it is very thin.
Is waffle thin.
And it literally pisses me off every time I saw it. I got so mad. That's what this building is.
Yeah.
It's just this unnecessarily tall and thin skyscraper.
So
couldn't pay me to live in it.
Overlord is, I thought he was having a conversation, but he's not.
He's yelling at somebody.
He's yelling at a dude on the other side of the screen. And
yeah, he's on a FaceTime or Zoom.
He's on a FaceTime and he's mad that nothing is getting done. And there's also Cyber Force, which is another Image group.
Yeah, I guess he was pissed off because Savage Dragon lives. He was controlling Super Patriot. I guess Cyber Force controlling.
This whoever this guy that.
The guy he's yelling at.
Yeah.
And that didn't work. So he's pissed. He's mad at this guy who doesn't say anything. He's just kind of ranting.
Yeah, he's just ranting. And of course, this is where he announces, my name is Overlord, cross my path again, and you surely will feel the wrath of Overlord. Overlord. And this is where we get Savage is about to.
Who is this woman?
So this is what I had to go back and read this, and I knew who this woman was.
Oh, I'm glad.
But I didn't. It's not explained.
I didn't know who this previously. Woman was.
So in the first
I was trying to figure it out, going, but the other chick's blonde.
So in the previous, the first issue, he busts up that hostage situation in that house.
Okay.
And he saves that girl.
Oh, is this that girl?
So apparently this is that girl, and her name is Amanda Mills. And it's weird because she walks in and he's like, Amanda Mills. I'm like, fuck, do you know who she is?
I was like,
because they don't say anything about this. She's not in the second issue.
Right. And that's why I was like, who is this chick? And that's why I was like, but I thought the other chick had blonde hair, which she does, which we'll talk about. But I honestly was like, what, she get like a perm in the 6 days?
Well, no, this chick's got like Starfire hair.
Well, that's what I mean. That was like, maybe she got a perm. I don't know. Maybe she's wearing a wig.
Yeah.
But no, they are different women, and she wants to bang Savage Dragon now that he is better.
Yeah, she's like, you saved my life. I want to copulate.
And the nurse comes in and she's like, oh no. And so Amanda leaves. And then the nurse is like, oh, Savage Dragon, I'm so glad that you're not dead, because I had to watch
Mighty Man
die because his limbs were all cut up and stuff. And it was terrible. And I don't think I could do it again. I was like, all right.
It's like, okay, pretty sad.
Yeah, sad.
So so Savage is leaving, and then all the the press is there.
Yeah, this is really odd because so when he leaves the hospital in his cop uniform, the press, I guess, has been waiting for them.
Yes.
But for him specifically to talk about how he is the only person who can save the city of Chicago. Oh, by the way, tell me all about your amnesia.
Yeah.
I was like, how do they all know about?
Well, they question. Yeah, I'm surprised that they know so much about him.
Yeah.
It's but they weird. Don't know anything about him, and they're mad that they don't know anything about him.
And they also ask if he's a child molester.
Yeah, because they're like, so you have amnesia. Why should we put our faith in you? And he's like, well, I am big.
Yeah,
and I am quite large. And I am dragon, so deal with it. But then they're like, oh, how come you're being secretive? Are you a thief, a murderer? Or like, do you really have amnesia? Are you a child molester? And he's like, I think it just runs in the woods.
Yeah, he did. He like ran away. And then this reporter pops out and she's like, I'm sorry about my colleagues. How about you talk to me? And like, before he can say anything, this is when Bedrock comes and like punches him in the face.
Yeah, Bedrock comes. Bedrock, of course, from Youngblood.
Yes.
And Bedrock basically looks like Ben Grimm, but smooth.
Smooth Ben Grimm. Yes, that is Ben correct. Grimm.
Or he looks a lot like, if you're DC and you're into Legion, Block from the Legion of Superheroes. Or Golem from Primal Force. If you're a hardcore comic book fan and you understand these references, you are cool.
Or kind of maybe like one of those thick Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like an Iron Monger or something like that.
Yeah. One of those.
So yeah, he comes in and he starts, they start pounding away.
Cause that's what you do in these comic books. So they just basically fight and sound effect all over the place.
They fight into this office building.
It took me a second. I was like, wait, how'd they get inside? Because then... Because
they're punching each other so far, they're just plowing into buildings.
Right. And so eventually, but they're in the building, and then Savage Dragon throws Bedrock into the water.
Well, right.
But before that happened...
Well, I just enjoy this woman saying yikes.
Yikes.
He's like, yikes. I'm like,
so many sound effects.
It's like, no, your office is destroyed. Somehow people are not exploded.
Yeah.
Because they're getting in the way of this. He kicks Bedrock down a elevator shaft. Of course, Savage Dragon fight. His shirt explodes.
Of course, because his shirt always explodes. But as that is happening, before we get to the water, we have a Spawn cameo.
Yeah, Spawn cameo for
and I'm not exactly sure why.
Yeah, because this is the end of the miniseries.
Right.
And now, granted, it's 1992. I don't know exactly when Spawn first came out, but it did come out, I think, in 1992.
Okay.
So this is like brand new. And so we're just trying.
Maybe we're trying to introduce.
Well, I mean, obviously we got, you know, Bedrock, we got Youngblood. So right. We got Liefeld's guys, we got McFarlane's guys. And now, you know, they're hanging out with Larson's guys. And, you know, this is the score.
Yeah.
Spawn is somewhere. And
wearing a trunch coat. As
wearing
he
a
does.
Trench coat. It's not somebody, some kids, some streeter, some little disgusting shit boys. It's like, oh, look, a superhero. And he's like, what? How do you know me? And, like, and they rush past him and they're watching.
Savage Dragon's on TV in like the windows of some like electronic store.
Yeah, because now in this universe, superheroes like all the rage because Bedrock, or not Bedrock, but Youngblood. Youngblood's like a government thing.
Okay.
So I think. And they have action figures and they're like.
So this is like the Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like the Seven. So, you know, and the boys and everything.
And the boys, yeah.
Spawn's just brooding. You know, he's like, I don't want nobody to look at me.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not like him. I'm in the shadows and I don't want people to see me. And that's the end of Spawn.
So I just want to say, and it took me a while to realize this towards the end, but somehow during this fight, Savage Dragon has his tie remaining around his neck the whole time.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Sometimes it's not there and sometimes it is.
How funny. Because
you see it, you know, in certain spots and then you don't.
Right.
But I do actually kind of like this. He's interesting. Savage Dragon is interesting because he has this agility that he'll bust out from time to time.
Uh-huh.
And he does it where, like, he gets thrown against a wall and Bedrock's about to plow into him and he jumps over him and then literally kicks him in the ass.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what he did with that kid because he, like, jumped over that guy and, like, Hellraiser.
And he grabs the guy's head on the way back. Yeah, so it's... So, but this is when he knocks him into the water because Chicago is on the water.
Yes, Chicago is on the water. It just looks like they're still standing in the office building, though. So, I don't know, maybe they knocked out a wall.
That's what I was trying to figure out because I was like...
I had to go back and look at it. So maybe they knocked out a wall.
They knocked out. Well, you can see here, knocks him out the building top here. And
there
he goes
it is.
Into this water.
But same
like you. I'm looking at this like, so did he fall down the elevator shaft and there's water underneath? That's, like, is there an aquarium?
I was trying to figure out
Atlantis,
the same thing.
Or?
That is exactly what I was like, where are we?
Again.
But yes, a little bit confusing here because there's just so much action.
Action.
Not a lot of stuff to, like, kind of center where exactly you are because everything's just moving so fast.
Action-packed.
Yes, action-packed.
So he knocks him into the water, Savage Dragon does, and he's like, okay, well, he's not coming right back up, so I better go save him. He goes down there, and of course...
They fight
in the water. I actually really like this drawing of him
coming out
of the water because he punches Bedrock out of the water, and he's like, all right, fucking, let's end this.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet looking.
It's pretty good looking. But this is... Before we finish this fight, though, we get this aside here.
Oh, yes. This old woman is watching TV, and she's very old. And she has a picture of a man with a green mohawk. And then she sees Savage Dragon on TV with his fin, and she calls him Rodney?
Yes.
Okay. She's like, oh, Rodney, look, you're alive, or whatever. And she's like, bending down in front of the TV, which she'll probably like take 6 hours to get up from.
Yeah, poor woman.
Yeah, right?
She's like, Rod Munch, my son. I just want to think his last name is either Dangerfield or Munch.
I'm going to say it's Munch. I like Munch. Munch is a good one.
Oh, does it mean he's related to Richard Belzer's
Probably,
character?
Yes.
Oh, that's my nephew, Rod Munch.
There's my nephew, Rod Munch. Yep.
Oh, so and that would actually place this in the SVU universe then.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah, no. If it's in
Stabler,
the
Stabler and Savage Dragon go out on a patrol.
Well, you know what? Somebody should have put all of us out of our misery and just murdered both Stabler and Benson before anything started. Because that would have been nice.
Oh,
fuck
brother.
That show. Anyway.
So, yeah. So we're back to the fight and they're like, okay, let's just stop.
Yeah.
And
wham.
This is where Bedrock is like, hey, man, take it easy. I just wanted to see if you're tough enough.
This is actually funny.
Tough enough to, like, join Youngblood. Join Youngblood.
And fucking Savage Dragon is like, are you kidding me? Like, we just caused millions of dollars of property damage. He's like, they do this in the Marvel universe. We don't do this here.
No, he punches Bedrock and he's like,
he
Dragon's,
does say that thing about the Marvel universe.
Well, Dragon says this is stupid and Bedrock is like, well, they do it in Marvel all the time.
I thought that was Dragon.
No, it's Bedrock.
Oh,
he's like,
I see.
He's like, it happens in Marvel comics all the time. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? We just destroyed half of downtown.
Everything gets very meta right here.
Yeah. And so he actually somehow arrests him. And this is kind of like when his tie is hanging down and I'm like,
yes.
Wait, so was this tie there the whole time? Cause it doesn't feel like it was, but
yeah, cause he's like, you know, cause he's like, well, I mean, if he's like, I don't want to join your pajama party, I think is what he calls it. And he's like, oh, well, okay, man, I guess we're done. And he's like, no, I'm arresting you. So Savage Dragon arrests Bedrock.
He goes on his way home and Debbie from the previous issue.
How old is Debbie?
I don't know.
Like seven?
she seems like she's way younger, but I think she's at least over 18.
I would hope so because she literally acts like a child to the point Savage Dragon suggests she watches cartoons.
This
is getting a little creepy, guys.
So he just kind of talks like, is your mom home? Can we talk to your mom? And she's like, I don't want to talk to my mom.
My mom kicked me out and I'd like, and he's like, well, I'll talk to her. She's like, but can you do it tomorrow? Can't you just stay? Can I sleep on your couch? And of course, we all know what's going to happen.
Right.
So there is the fucking, but apparently this baby woman.
Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So this is when the rest of
Youngblood
shows up. Or at least two members of the Youngblood, Chapel and Shaft.
Shaft.
I don't know why, but I know it's fine because he's basically like a Shaft is like a Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know.
So Arrow Shaft.
Arrow Shaft or whatever, but just Shaft.
Shaft.
So they
like Shaft.
Shaft.
Like Isaac Hayes Shaft.
No, I don't know. I just think of like, since the 90s, it's like, let's name somebody after like the hilt of your cock or something.
Oh, because I was picturing like, who's the what was it? The private dick who knows all the ladies. It's Shaft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. For some reason, I was thinking real like childish.
Oh.
It was real stupid.
Wow. For once, it wasn't me.
for once, I am you are the mature one.
First and last time that's going to happen.
So, yeah, and I think this other guy, I think this guy's name is Chapel, this other guy here. But so they came and they're paying whatever the bill is. It's like,
for the property damage.
Because
they obviously have to bail what's his face out.
So, so then Frank gets a call, Lieutenant Frank gets a call in the middle of the night. And I think it's from Skullface.
It is.
It's from Skullface. And he's saying that he kind of set up Savage Dragon to be at this warehouse. I get this impression like he's kind of he did that. And
wait, Frank did that?
Yeah, because okay. Dragon didn't want to be a part of the force.
Right.
He set it up like that. And, you know, and so the bad guys will come and it's whatever. There's something afoot.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
So then we jump back and we get to see what Skullface is up to. I didn't realize Skullface was just a skeleton, but with red hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also a receding hairline.
A receding. Yes. He has a receding red skullet.
Yes, he literally does.
On a skull.
On a skull. It's pretty amazing, actually.
It's quite the look. And you know what? I don't hate it.
No, I think Skullface actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, right?
As where Overlord looks like a fucking moron.
Yeah. He's you know what? Because the colors actually here kind of work better.
Yeah.
And then he's standing there, you know.
He's got this cool head, skull head, and his eyes are in the socket and he looks fucking creepy.
Yeah.
But he's got this red skullet thing. I don't know. He looks cool. Then Overlord's in the background looking like a broken action figure.
Yes. So, yes, but now this is where Savage Dragon and this...
And the baby woman.
Baby woman have...
The sex.
The sex, you know, we get them taking their clothes off or whatever. Yep. You know, we get her, you know, face down on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Savage Dragon, that bed is too small. I don't know how he even fits on that bed.
I was going to say, that bed looks... It's too small for her.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he fits on it too.
let's fuck on this half a twin bed.
Exactly. Let's basically fuck on a coffee table. I think that's what's going on here. It's like, okay. So then the next morning, Savage Dragon's like, I'm so hot. Look at me shaving.
So this is what I don't understand.
She acts like a child.
Well, she's acting like a child, but she's also like
Too into it.
Well, she's acting like they've been together for a while because she's like, oh, give me a hug, you know. Oh, you should.
She's like, I have to let you know that I'm crazy about you. I'm like, you guys met literally. This is the second time you've met and you just fucked.
Yeah.
Like, what are you like again, baby woman? And he's like, I'm shaving. She's like, you should grow a mustache. It'd be hot. And then he like smacks her in the ass and tells her to go watch cartoons.
Well, just the way that she's drawn, because she's climbing on his back and then like he's like lifting her up on his arm.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, and then she's like, you know, which is what she says. So she says, if you shave your mustache, if you shave, get a mustache, you look like an incredible hunk. And he's like, yeah, I think you got me confused for somebody else.
Right.
Wah, wah. I think Eric Larson did draw Hulk. Or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Did the Hulk have a mustache at one point?
I don't know.
Maybe he should have.
He might. I don't know, actually. He might have.
I don't know.
I don't recall. But yeah, so he, you know, so she's like, go watch cartoons.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And
she's like, okay, I'm going to go watch cartoons.
He also is like kind of, yeah, he's.
So does he not have chairs? No, because she's just laying on the ground.
Utilitarian hovel.
Must be.
He just has books and a carpet and a TV.
And a coffee table that he sleeps on.
And
also fucks on.
And yeah. And a razor.
And a razor, yeah.
Yeah, so those are his possessions.
Well, that's nice.
He has a few things.
I mean, that's good. As long as, you know.
So somebody's not at the door, and
she's like, oh, I shouldn't get that, but it might be my mom because I'm a baby.
Yeah, and so, but she doesn't want to see her mom, and he's like, well, sooner or later, she's going to figure this out.
Yeah.
And she opens the door, and she gets shot in the head.
So, this is confusing to me. She opens the door. She does not live here. Okay? So, she gets shot in the head, and it doesn't seem to be a mistake because the guy who did it then immediately kills himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he trying to kill Savage Dragon? Wouldn't he at least try to shoot him first?
Well, I will explain. So I think it's so for, well, first of all, I want to say this silhouetted drawing of this man shooting himself through the head, but you see the dark silhouette, but then you see the blood. Meaty red chunks coming out the
kind of great,
which is actually kind of, it's interesting.
It's kind of great.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And so Savage Dragon is very upset, obviously. But from what I understand,
well, I mean, yeah, a child just died.
Yeah, right. Jesus. You know, this because this guy was like her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend or something.
Oh, is that what's going on? He
went to the mother, to the apartment where the mother was.
But the mother doesn't know where she is.
We don't know that.
How would she know that she went to Savage Dragon's house? Because,
or maybe she might have said, oh, she's probably going to that cop down the hall.
Oh,
I think there's something where she somehow, the mother somehow tipped this guy off. He went over, did the deed.
I get you.
Killed her. But this girl somehow comes back like a vengeance spirit.
Is she any like more mature, or is she still a baby?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
is this like an angry baby?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like an angry baby vengeance,
which could be,
which is actually her name when she comes back, angry baby vengeance. So
she's like, I'm mad, but I gotta take a nap first. Then I will enact my vengeance. So there's like a funeral, which is great. You know, we got a graveyard. I love a graveyard.
Yeah.
I got to live by a graveyard. I want to find a house literally by a cemetery.
We were watching. So speaking of music videos. So we were watching music videos last night.
Yeah.
And
the Ramones.
Right. Well, there's this app on Prime where you could like watch a bunch of video music playlists.
Yeah.
And they had like a Halloween one, and they had the Ramones one, whatever. Yeah,
they literally had an 80s Halloween one, and I'm like, oh, this is just normal music for me.
Yeah, this is this is just how we normally act.
And it was.
But we watched there's a video which I've seen a ton of times. It's Rockwell's Somebody Watching Me.
Yeah.
Somebody's Watching Me. It's a really weird video if you've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a very weird song because I just love the part where he's like,
yeah,
when I'm in my shower and I wash my hair. And I'm like, why did you say it like that?
He really does say it like.
And then Michael Jackson comes in. It's like, somebody's watching me.
Yeah, but he's literally like, when he says that, though, he has like, he goes through a sliding glass door, and where his patio would be is a grave.
Is a graveyard. And there's like people there, like fucking around.
Yeah. And he's like, gotta wash my hair.
He's like,
yeah. Like, why do you?
But I was like,
that's the only word he says like that. I don't understand why.
It's not like any word. It's not just like a thing he does. It's
right.
Just like,
and it's not like he's doing it like every verse at the same beat. He does it once.
For all I know.
Yeah.
For what I know, he doesn't have many other hits except for that one.
The only reason that one's a hit is because Michael Jackson was on it.
Because his father is, Rockwell's father is Berry Gordy, head of Motown Records.
That explains
it. So it was Nepo Baby. Nepo Baby shooting his shot
Hey, good.
In 1983 or 84 going, yeah!
Yeah! There's a lot of showering in that video. It's a weird video, but anyway, yeah.
It's a moist video.
It's a very moist video.
There's a lot of slime and,
yeah,
goo and grossness.
Yeah. But I mean, he does, you know, he has a cemetery, like a grave, and I'm like, man, that'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is not the first time I've brought up the fact that I really do want to move to a house that has a cemetery, either next door, in the backyard, old church. I'll take that too.
Yeah, yeah.
I realize those houses are very hard to sell, but there are people out there like me who would buy one.
Hey, look, man, if the Wi-Fi is good, I'm there.
Well, that's the thing. The Wi-Fi's got to be good, and I'm sure it would be. Also, your neighbors are very quiet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Except sometimes they walk around going, yeah.
It's okay.
I live next to Rockwell. It sucks. He's taking the shower. He's going, yeah. So Savage Dragon.
Depressed.
He's sad. He goes to a bar. He's drinking, which I think is funny. He's drinking rot gut whiskey, which is actually like a name, kind of like a pet name for like shitty booze.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which popped me. And so this is weird because the transitions happen so randomly.
Yeah.
Because now he's on this war path, like this fight. With, yeah. Like, some,
My guess is this is we're looking at a very long, at least a couple of months.
Couple of months. Yeah. And he's beating up these, I guess, villains or whatever. Sure. But they're called the Nixed Men instead of X-Men. They're Nixed Men. And you see a dude, and he's got like a Wolverine kind of haircut. Did you see this?
Oh, no, I didn't. That's funny.
Yeah, and so he's chasing them off, and
man, so edgy.
And then we jump to he's in his apartment with all of his books. So many books.
He has a chair now. That's cool.
And a chair.
He finally got a chair.
A fair chair, and he's got a tank top,
mm-hmm.
and a doorknob.
The way he's sitting in one of these that picture specifically, so he is growing a mustache.
Yes.
But
well, this picture, this portrait photos.
Like, yeah. Yeah. But I guess he's sitting in the shadow. So his fin looks like it's black, but it looks like an Elvis pompadour.
Yeah, it looks like Johnny Bravo, but evil Johnny Bravo.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. No, actually, I
hey there, that, pretty I lady.
Kinda,
yeah.
I kind of like that. It's like, oh, look at me. I was ragging out.
Oh, look at me, pretty lady.
Green sweat shoes. Oh. So he's sitting here and Frank comes in, and this is Savage Dragon doing his speech at the end of Rambo First Blood.
Yeah.
Just talking about how
he's not okay.
He's not okay, and how there's lawsuits. And
this is a strange way to end a trilogy that's supposed to introduce a character.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay.
He's like, I'm tired of everything, Frank. Because Frank just walks in and goes, we need to talk. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to talk a whole bunch right now.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not okay, Frank. I'm just not okay.
He's like, Frank. Frank's like, man, we really need you, man. We're not doing good. We're losing the battle. And he's like, he's just like, I'm losing it, man.
Yeah, I'm losing it, Frank. And then they have like eyes. They like look at each other and savage.
Fulci eye zoom.
Yeah, it's a Fulci eye zoom. It's exactly what it is. And then he just goes losing it. And that's the end of the book.
That's how that miniseries ends, and then that means for the next time you see Savage Dragon, you're supposed to be like, I can't wait to read that, but I can't wait to read this man having an existential crisis, or whatever this man, a dragon man. Dragon man
having dragon alien, because one of the reporters does bring it up that maybe he's not human, maybe he's an alien.
Which he's not.
Yeah, so maybe he is an alien.
He only has two toes!
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? You know, I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's so that's how that ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that draws our series to a close. It's a proper miniseries.
Yeah.
So you've read the entirety of the introduction of Savage Dragon to the Image Comics
universe.
And I guess in a way to the larger comic book buying audience,
yeah,
in 1992. And of course we mentioned the Savage Dragon, the ongoing series, went for 225 issues.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Spawned spawned. Also, you know, produced a cartoon. There was action figures. I mean, he wasn't that ubiquitous, but
we gotta find that cartoon.
Actually, I'm trying to think I've seen it. It's out there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. But
yeah, so yeah, but that's how that ended.
Yeah.
What do you think of Savage Dragon overall? What do you think for me from this? Yeah.
It has its high points. It has its low points. I do enjoy the idea of this just this world where there's weird fucking mutants for no apparent reason, and they just are. And I like that. I like that we don't have to be like explaining exactly how they are. They're just there. So of course, Savage Dragon fits in. I think that's good. Not always a fan of the one man army trope that we're leaning into here. But other than that, you know, it's interesting. I think we're setting up something, hopefully something interesting with this Frank character. If he's really betraying Savage Dragon.
Right.
Or if he's like, he fucked him over at the beginning and he was in on it with Skullface. And also, I like Skullface. I think he looks cool.
Shout out to Skullface.
Yeah, seriously.
I dig this stuff. I kind of want to read more Savage Dragon. I have another trade from like future issues. Mm. You know, so I'm kind of looking forward to maybe diving into that more down the line, probably for the show, but
sure.
You know, just in general, because I think it's a unique character.
Definitely.
And it's whole, you know, you could tell that when Image started and you had, you know, these five goobers doing their thing, and Eric Larson, or was it six? I don't know. But Eric Larson, you know, is a very, you know, he's a great artist, and he's got a very creative mind. And
yeah.
I think there's, you know, and he puts his all into that book, and that's what he's known for. And I look forward to, you know, maybe seeing more about what it's like.
Yeah. I think there is something to be said about, you know, Image, for all of its faults and good things about it. This is what happens when you let creatives just do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And in a corporate environment, like, you know, like a Marvel or a DC, or, you know, especially one we live in now, you don't get to take those chances.
Yeah. Not frequently. No.
Yeah. You don't get to do it. It's just like, well, you have to immediately make money. So let's just continue using the same characters that we've always used. So you don't get to play around with something like a Youngblood or a Savage Dragon, or, you know, you don't get to make a Skullface. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing too, is that these guys, it was the way that Image, you know, comes together. You know, you have these artists that are probably at the height of their powers, mm-hmm. jumping in and putting out original content and just pops right away.
Yeah.
Like Spawn, you know, for, you know, all the things about him being like, oh, he looks like Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, in a way it's like, well, but yeah, but he's interesting. And Todd McFarlane's all, you know, a great artist. He's right. Very unique style. And that kind of goes for Eric Larson too. And I think that's really cool. So, and also, yeah, it's great because if Eric Larson wants Savage Dragon to go down on a girl,
oh, he can't.
He can. He doesn't have to put out a statement that, you know,
that Savage Dragon doesn't do that.
Doesn't do that. He can just be like, yeah, sure. Well, I'm doing it. You know what? I'm thinking about it. You know what? Yes.
Yeah. There doesn't need to be a statement that's like, oh, you know, Savage Dragon and DJ Khaled are like best friends. we don't need that.
DJ Khaled with a big fit on his head.
That would be. Oh, it's funny. But yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about like some angry corporate guy like making the stupidest fucking announcement you could even imagine.
Oh, Dan Didio, you tool.
Didn't he leave?
Well, he's the one that kind of had that. Was he one that put that statement out?
I thought he left. I thought that was just like in general.
Oh, maybe it wasn't him. Okay, well, sorry, Dan Didio. I mean, I know granted, Dan Didio is not innocent.
Oh, no, he's definitely not. But I feel like he left a while ago. I'd have to look that up. You know, basically because Warner Brothers is in a fucking shambles.
So. Oh yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah. Why Zaslav doesn't?
Yeah,
Zaslav. Zaslav sounds like a villain.
He is a villain.
He literally like a villain you could have in a comic book.
I mean, Jesus it's Christ.
Crazy. You know, I'm surprised he hasn't been like, you know what? Comics are no longer happening. I don't want them. We're writing them all off for tax purposes.
Yeah.
You mean everything? We're just not going to do it anymore.
We're not doing it anymore.
We're just going to hoard all this IP and not do anything with it.
All I do is make sure that the Wall Street is happy because that's what my MBA told me to do.
Jesus.
Well,
let's not end this on such a dour note. But we want to thank you for listening. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this new format of sorts and, you know, us just being back. It's great to be back. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield.
And if you want to find us on Facebook, we're on there. I like Facebook comments.
Mm-hmm. You can email us too. You can
email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com. If you just want to send me an email, just go, yeah.
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 Maybe if you know why he said hair that way, I'd love to hear about it.
If you are Rockwell and you're listening.
If you are Rockwell, could you please write in and let me know why you said hair that way?
Rockwell.
But just that one time.
Big fan of our show.
Yeah. Rockwell, number one fan.
So, yeah, please email us, worstcollectionever@gmail.com. And also YouTube. You can go to AngryHero79. My YouTube channel and find a playlist which is linked to this episode description, and you can find all of our episodes on YouTube now.
Yeah,
which is awesome. And I feel like we get like, honestly, I feel like we don't get like a ton of people on there saying stuff, but it's more than I'm expecting because it's just out there, you know.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. So I look forward to more of that. And please, by all means, share the show, tell a friend. I would really appreciate that. But Jen would too. I don't know. We would. I was like, island.
Yeah.
But anyways, thanks for listening, folks. Talk to you again next time.
Bye.